Now, O Lord, take my lips and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for yourself. Amen.
Amen.
Please do be seated. A few years ago, I came across an article about the Namib Desert. That is a large coastal desert in South Africa. It has just 5 to 10 millimetres of rain a year, and that is average. Some years with no rain at all. But every now and again, it gets more. And in one year, it got 20 millimetres in 2 days. And something very special happened. And Anne Bonfert, who wrote the article I read, happened to be there when that happened. And she writes, "The desert came alive." She said it took about 3 weeks, but tiny plants began to emerge from out of the sand, grass and succulents, and herb-like plants with fragrances that filled the air. The desert became carpeted with flowers. It must have been such a transformation, this apparent, vast, lifeless area suddenly becoming full of life. Here in the UK, we do not have to wait years to see things come alive in our gardens. Each year, we are reminded of the apparent death of our plants and then the rebirth of them each springtime. And of course, throughout the year, as the bulbs come up, the trees and bushes start to sprout new leaves, and the grass begins to grow again and again and again. So this image of rebirth, of resurrection, is a familiar one to us. Maybe so familiar that we do not really appreciate it. It is part of our lives so much, unlike the miracle that seems to happen so infrequently in the Namib Desert. Paul, in our letter to Corinthians, speaks about the resurrection to new life that Jesus, or Christ, as Paul refers to him as, Christ, the anointed one, the chosen one. This new life that is for all people. The new life that begins the day we turn to Jesus and say we believe, whatever that may mean to us. Our journey on this path begins. This new life starts here on earth and will continue when we leave this earthly body. When Jesus walked this earth, preaching and teaching, we read in our gospel reading that he came down with them and stood on a level plain with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. When Jesus was being really followed, he was being really noticed for what was happening. Prior to this, Jesus had been up the mountainside praying to God, and in the morning he'd called his followers, his disciples, his students. And from these, he had chosen 12 who were to be his apostles, those he would send out to spread the good news message. And it says people were trying to touch him for healing, because power was just coming out of Jesus. What an amazing moment. And then we hear these words from Jesus. He turns to them and speaks of how we are blessed in our lives. Speaking some words that we also hear in Matthew's gospel. But in the gospel of Luke that we heard today, there are not quite so many blessings, and they are followed by woes if people do not help those around who are less fortunate than themselves. The blessings in Matthew's gospel, which we often call the Beatitudes, as I said at the beginning, they sometimes are seen as blessings of a spiritual nature, whereas Luke's is much more hard-hitting for social justice. For example, Matthew's gospel says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And Luke says, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled," it says in Matthew's gospel. But in Luke's gospel, it says, blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Matthew points more to the spiritual growth within us and for the cries of justice to come from that. But Luke seems more raw and linked to basic daily life needs of food and poverty. This fits in well with Luke, who then goes on to these woes when he says, but woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Luke isn't saying woe to you because you are rich and full now, but woe to you if you just sit back and think, I'm all right, thank you, God. Luke is saying, come on, remember the two greatest commandments? Love the one God and love your neighbour as yourself. I think looking at countries, creation, other people's lives helps us a lot with this. When we look around and see the plight of others, we are called to count our blessings and see what we can do to help. Whilst drawing our own times of difficulties, because they do come along to all of us, we can use these times to draw closer to God, to others around us who can support us, to pray for us, or offer physical help. Not just as individuals, but as church groups, community groups, as countries and nations. New life can spring up out of barren and harsh times. The resurrection of Jesus opened the possibility for all people. This light that we've been talking about, that no darkness can put out, it shines on forever. Across the benefice, we have been growing more as a family of church grows, looking not just out for each other, but for many others in need. And that is correct, looking wider. And of course, in this lovely rural area, we have many clubs and charities beyond the church who do this. We as churchgoers do not have the monopoly on doing good. But we do have a great gospel message to proclaim as well. The great hope for all humanity, for all creation, for all time. That Luke's gospel and Matthew's gospel, indeed all the gospels in the Bible, points to. The great message of good news that we will all experience the riches of heaven, the kingdom of God. That is what God intended for us when he created the world. But we fell away from that. But we see such wonders, glimpses of this future that we will all enjoy. Glimpses in our seasonal changes here in the UK and in the amazing transformation such as happens in the Namib Desert. With such a small amount of rainfall in 2 days of 20 millilitres, I had to check, that as a really small amount of rain, but that carpet of flowers and fauna covered the desert with just that amount of rain. This light of Jesus that we have been talking about will not be kept down. This good news message is for us all. And during this coming season of Lent in the church, we will be having some study groups for us to look closer at the Bible message. You might even look at Paul's letters, you never know. Really challenge ourselves. And we can think how this good news message is for us all, and that we are part of this wonderful message. Amen.